Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we pay tribute to another music legend gone too soon.
Man, this is just brutal. Okay, Patrick, more sad news in the music world. We need to address the death of Toots Hibbert, Frederick Toots Hibbert of Toots and the Maytals. He died at 77 years old on Friday, September 11th in Kingston, Jamaica. The reports are that it was likely from coronavirus.
Yes.
And it's so interesting and unfortunate this happened because we were just talking about Toots and the Maytals in one of our August New Music episodes because they just released a new album, the first album in over 10 years.
Yeah.
And it was really good. I listened to it. It was really good. So just strange timing, I guess, and just really unfortunate. The new album has got to be tough. And it has a lot of those Toots and the Maytals sort of hallmarks of like just, you know, kind of driving soul style reggae and, you know, social commentary and just like a lot of warmth to the delivery and just great stuff. And so I guess what we should do here on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
I think the first thing we should do, and a lot of people have heard of Toots Hibbert, Toots and the Maytals, but maybe they don't quite understand or haven't really stopped to consider what a big deal he really was, right? So how would you assess sort of his legacy?
Well, I think he's probably, you have to put Toots up there as one of the key figures that basically created the music of Jamaica, that influenced so many musicians in Britain, created some amazing art. You know, he was one of the people that was signed by Clement Dodd on the Studio One label in the early 60s in Jamaica. And at that time, we're making essentially sort of Jamaican soul records, right? You know, like Sweet and Dandy is a good example of one of his early songs. And not only did Toots pioneer sort of Jamaican soul, he also dabbled in, you know, ska music a little bit, and then claims to have invented the term reggae in the late 60s with a song called Do the Reggae. So that's just that, you know.
And let me tell you something about that song, too. Not only does it establish the term for this new you know, sort of genre or subgenre of music at the time, but the song itself is kind of a template for like reggae music, right?
Is.
You know what I mean?
Yep, totally is. And not only that, but he also wrote 5446, that's my number, which was a song about his time that he served in prison when he was arrested for possession of marijuana in the late 60s, and also Pressure Drop, which is a pretty good song that was definitely covered by, you know, a lot of people. And I think more than that, you know, he became, along with Bob Marley, and I guess, I don't know who else you could throw in there, Jimmy Cliff, right? Peter Tosh, they were kind of the faces of Jamaican music throughout the 60s and 70s, and Toots all the way later than that. He made a comeback in the late 90s, and I think I've told the story on the podcast. When I saw him in the late 90s, he was still in excellent voice. And I think too, his enduring legacy will also be that his voice was really, really soulful in ways that somebody like Jimmy Cliff or Bob Marley really was not. I mean, some people called him Otis Redding-like or compared him to Otis Redding because of that ability to sing different kinds of tunes. And so as a vocalist, he was a star, whereas Bob Marley was, you know, a composer and a vocalist, and Jimmy Cliff, you know, kind of the same way. But Toots really was a singer in the slightly broader sense. Yeah.
I remember that. I remember when I texted you that he had a new album out a while back. You texted back and said he's one of like the greatest singers of all time or something like that. Was your response. Yeah.
His voice, just pretty instantly, you could tell it was Toots. I think that had a lot to do with his longevity, that he was able to play all the way through the 2010s even. You know, it's amazing that he could take any kind of material really and sing it pretty well.
This is the new dance that's going all over the world. Come do the reggae. Come do the reggae. Reggae, reggae, reggae. Come do the reggae. Reggae, reggae, reggae. Come do the reggae. Hey, long. La 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 la.
And I'm just looking at my notes. He also appeared in The Harder They Come.
Yes.
Very famous movie, and that really again broadened the appeal to a lot of people in England, and there's a big Jamaican population there, and that had a lot to do with two-tone and ska and punk, and so the ripples of his influence were really pretty long-lasting.
I was wondering, you know, sort of thinking, why did Bob Marley become sort of the face of reggae? Why did he become the big star in the U.S. where others were decidedly a step or a couple steps down, really, in terms of American consciousness I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think for Marley, it was like Bob Marley and the Wailers were just sort of masters at that groove, you know, getting that groove going, right?
Absolutely,
and these kind of jams, right? And it was more about inviting you into this like musical environment in some way, right? With with Bob Marley's music. And then also he did a lot of social commentary too, but it was sort of easy going in a way, you know, even Get Up Stand Up was not like, it's a call to action, but even it's like easy to swallow. Right. And so, and then he kind of became an icon and that just sort of made him sort of bigger than life in a lot of ways. And then let's not discount the weed connection too. So that's part of it as well. But anyway, so all that stuff, Toots, I think, appealed more to like the music nerds, kind of like the real music fans, right?
Absolutely.
The people who might have like, you know, a bunch of like Stax vinyl in their house, right?
Yes,
you
exactly.
know, and they would totally get this guy. He was the soul singer, like you said, and there was a certain urgency, I think, when he sang, and I think there was like a little more edge to it as well. Yep. Like he could do the easygoing stuff, but when he wanted to like sort of turn it up a little bit and really get your attention, he could do that too, right?
He could definitely do that, yeah. And interestingly, having served that time in prison, you know, that gave him an authenticity too when he sang a song like 5446. He wasn't just sort of playing at being an outlaw, which you see a little bit of in The Harder They Come, right? But he had been there, and so he understood what was happening from behind the scenes. To the music nerd. And I think, you know, that goes to the fact that The Clash covered Pressure Drop, right? And also The Specials were heavily influenced by him and stuff like that.
Totally.
And whereas you didn't see them messing around with Marley tunes or stuff like that.
You're right. Because Marley appealed more to kind of the hippie sort of crowd, and Toots and I think Jimmy Cliff more were like to the rockers, you know, the more that new wave punk scene that was coming up. That a little bit better. And Toots and the Maytals opened for The Who at one point in the 70s.
Yeah,
you know, I know, I think Jimmy Cliff or Peter Tosh or maybe both opened for The Stones on various tours. So they were like, these reggae artists at that time were embraced by some of the biggest bands in rock music. And, you know, then you mentioned The Clash connection too, you know, sort of the next, you know, sort of biggest band coming up. They didn't always, though, necessarily gain the amount of fame that maybe those bands pushing them would have liked, you know?
That's right.
But again, to the like the true music fans, people who were open to these kinds of sounds or different approaches, experiences, whatever, you know, without those champions, you know, maybe wouldn't even heard them as much as we did. And I'll give you an example of that. So you mentioned Pressure Drop, right? So this is a great example of like being turned on to an artist by another band you like. So I heard the Clash Pressure Drop, and the Clash did a lot of covers and some really cool stuff. And, you know, Pressure Drop, the Clash thing, it's like so like everything they did, it was like urgent, right? It was like that like a little bit ahead of the beat, and that kind of searing like guitar line that they played and everything. And you're just like, God, this song is so cool. And then from that, I'm like, well, it's a cover. I need to listen to the original version and see what that is like. And I got to tell you, I listened to the original version. I'm like, I like this more. Like, you know, as great as that Clash version is, there's something to that original that is just like, it just, it has such feeling to it. I think that's the key.
And that's what it is. The depth of emotion. Yep, absolutely.
Yep, yep. Yep. And it's like so perfect. I mean, I have it on my Perfect Pop playlist, the original Pressure Drop, right? Because it's just, it really is a perfect song. And, you know, and there's a lot of others similar like that that you can go back and you can listen to. Just go on to Spotify or whatever and, you know, call up a Toots and the Maytals playlist that somebody has put together. And it'll just be like song after song of like, this is so cool. How did I not know this, right? You know?
Yeah. Monkey Man to Funky Kingston. Yes. I mean, there are a ton of classic stuff that all contain that depth of emotion and that feeling in his singing. And just to echo your point, I mean, I would never have had the chance to see Toots unless Jay Giles' band had brought him out on tour. So that's another example of a band that achieved, you know, more popularity. Now, had Toots or some of these artists had the marketing machine of Island Records in the U.S. behind them like Marley did, you know, it might have been a slightly different story. But again, it is a depth, maybe depth of emotion is the right way to make the distinction between, you know, those kind of founding fathers of Jamaican music, without a doubt.
And this is, and just to be clear, this is by no means meant to suggest that Bob Marley wasn't also great, because he was.
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah.
We're just sort of comparing, like, why does one make it bigger than another, right? You know, so.
And to sort of illustrate why, you know, we're taking the time to do this episode, because he really was a giant, again, whose influence is pretty hard to calculate, and it's terrible that he's gone, and especially with a new album coming out. So it really is a sad time, and rest in power, Toots is really, you know, all you can say about that.
It's just unbelievable. So I would encourage people, the beauty of this music is it's like really easy to get into. You can pretty much start anywhere, and it's accessible, but yet at the same time, really powerful in a lot of ways too, right? To me, you know, I kind of think a lot of times about the difference between music, whether it's sort of a lean back or a lean forward experience. You know, there's some music that you can just kind of have on in the background and it's perfect for that setting. And there's some music that you really have to listen to, or you don't quite get it. This music works both ways.
Yeah. You know, I would definitely agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. You can lean into a lot of these songs, and it also works as a beautiful mood setter and, you know, a creation of ambiance and feeling that you can just sort of let wash over you. Yeah, so that's
totally
very well said.
Yeah. Okay. Well, rest in power.
Yeah.
Toots Hibbert, another, you know, larger than life figure, I think, in music. And it's really, it's too bad. So If anybody out there would like to also weigh in on Toots Hibbert, Toots and the Maytals, you can do that by calling and leaving a message, and we'll get you on an upcoming show. The number is 612-440-1984. Or you can email us, rock@suburbspod.com, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, @suburbspod, and, you know, leave a comment with this episode article. That'd
yeah,
be fun.
Okay?
All right. Let's get out of here. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Boston.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Are there prayers I drop? Oh.